Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. President Barack Obama is nominating Federal Reserve Vice Chair Janet Yellen to succeed Ben Bernanke as chairman of the nation's central bank. If confirmed by the Senate, Yellen would be the first woman to head a major central bank anywhere in the world. She also would be the first Democrat chosen to lead the Fed since President Jimmy Carter nominated Paul Volcker in 1979. The International Monetary Fund cut its global economic growth forecasts and warned that the U.S. would harm the world economy if it fails to raise its borrowing limit. The International Lending Agency says that the global economy will grow 2.9% this year and 3.6% in 2014. Both are 0.2 of a point lower than the group's July forecasts. The main reason for the downgrade was slower growth in China, India, Brazil, and other developing countries. But the IMF also lowered its outlook for U.S. economic growth this year to 1.6% and next year to 2.6%. A former Chicago trader who was charged in one of the city's largest ever financial fraud cases is pleading guilty as part of a deal with prosecutors. Charles Mosley's plea caps his sentence at 10 years behind bars. He had faced up to 370 years in prison if he was convicted in the $500 million fraud scheme. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 14,712. It's down 5 points. The NASDAQ is 3142, down 8¾. And the S&P 500 is 1650. It is down 0.25 of 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Linner.
Most of the Midwest is still expecting to see a cool front cut across the region as we finish out this week and go into the weekend, but precipitation associated with the frontal boundary is not likely to be very impressive, at least not initially. The frontal system will be associated with a deep low-pressure center that's expected to form tomorrow across the northern plains and race to the north across parts of Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan as we move from Friday into Saturday. The frontal system, so far removed from the low-pressure center, is not likely to be very active, but we'll still see some shower activity moving through the western Corn Belt as we move from Friday into Saturday. The precipitation totals, though, will be rather limited, with just a light coverage of rain totals running upwards to a quarter of an inch. A couple of counties may end up with upwards to a half inch of rain, but we certainly do not expect that to be very common. The majority of the precipitation is going to be too light to have a serious impact on field work, and progress as far as harvest is concerned should continue to advance relatively well around the precipitation, what little there is. This same frontal system will try to go through the eastern Midwest as we move into the heart of the weekend, but Saturday and Sunday's rain will probably be limited because the frontal boundary itself is going to be dissipating. Now, some of its remnants will likely linger back into the U.S. Central Plains, and it's there where a new low-pressure center is expected to evolve over the weekend, and that low-pressure system will eventually become large enough in size that it will have a big impact on the Midwest as well as hard red winter wheat country. The low-pressure system will move from Kansas into the Great Lakes region as we move through the end of the weekend and into early next week. And I would think that the majority of the precipitation will be focused on Sunday and Monday. And rain totals will likely run from 0.3 to 0.8 of an inch, and some local totals of 1 to 1.5 inches will be possible. The majority of this precipitation will be concentrated again on the region from the Central Plains to the Great Lakes region, meaning that places like Ohio and eastern Kentucky, maybe southeastern Indiana, may not do quite so well with the precipitation associated with this second system. In the meantime, we'll likely see the temperature staying relatively warm across a fair amount of the Midwest. A lot of 60 and 70 degree highs are expected to prevail as we move forward through this next several day period. I think we'll see a little bit of a cooling trend take place as we move towards the latter part of the weekend, but it's really not until after the second storm system moves through the Midwest that we're likely to see any real meaningful change in temperatures. And I should point out that some areas in the lower parts of the Midwest will be as warm as the lower 80s over these next couple of days. Now, this will probably be most significant starting tomorrow and continuing into Saturday from Kansas into the lower Ohio River Basin. Areas to the north will be mostly in the 70s, but these lower 80s will certainly accelerate the drying tendency that's occurring across the Midwest and help to stimulate some faster drying rates and quicker harvest progress. As we move behind that second storm system that brings in the majority of the precipitation late in the weekend or early next week, the temperatures will cool down to something a lot closer to normal, which will run from 50s and 60s in the northern Midwest to temperatures in the 60s to near 70 degrees in the south. We're not expecting to see any meaningful freeze risk across the U.S. Corn or soybean production areas through at least a Sunday morning, but temperatures will be turning cooler early next week and will probably be reinforced by yet another shot of cooler air as we move on into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat is 755 and a half, down 5, now down 5 and a quarter. December soft wheat is 688, now 689, now 88 and 3 quarters, down 4 and 3 quarters. December corn 441 and a half, down a quarter. July 469, down 1. November soybeans 1282, down 6 and 3 quarters, now they're down 7. July 1244 and 3 quarters, down 7 and 3 quarters. October soybean meal, 423.80, down 4.90. October soybean oil, 40.27, up 7 cents. October live cattle, 127.95, down 32 and a half. October feeders, 164.70, down 10 cents. October lean hogs are 90.90, down 32 and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Welcome to Shiny Week 2 of No NASS Information. So here's what we're left with. We're left with the possibility that we won't see anything from them, the federal government, in terms of statistics on grains until the 17th, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's beginning to hunker down for that date. So the question is, what do you trade between then? And so what I want you to talk about this morning is, how do you view spreads and the basis as a fundamental in making your marketing decisions?
Well, first off, the spreads have become a lot more significant as far as a pricing feature, because a lot of the relationships have been, you know, evaluation against something else, you know, like the corn beans, the front month corn against old crop corn. I think realistically that has been a vehicle of choice for a lot of marketers, and establishing the relationship between time of marketing and time of production. The other thing that you asked about too is basis. That's probably one of the most key features to watch right now, is that basis pattern, because as we come in with a fairly good sized corn and bean crop, what we're going to be doing is working that inventory into the pipeline or into the marketing channels. And as that takes place, we're seeing some areas basis kind of taper off, and then another area not too far away will pop up and basically divert the movement of the grain out of the field and into the pipeline. That is probably how that takes place, is probably one of be one of our best indicators as far as, you know, what price and what value is working for us.
Okay, so when you do that on this date, October 9th, what are you seeing in corn and beans?
Bean basis right now is starting to perk up. Today we're seeing a shift. For as many guys as can are probably shifting over to beans now. That's basically given the bean market a little bit of a pop. I heard one of the guys down in southern Illinois saying their processor had popped their bid about 20 cents to divert beans out of the corn, and, or pardon me, beans out of the field into the processor today. And I think realistically, as the corn harvest starts to slow up now, we'll probably see that basis start to firm a little bit as well, and watch the bean market, bean basis, kind of taper off over the next 3 or 4 days.
What emphasis do you want to put on the technical charts?
The technical chart is one, is the corn market bounced 15 cents and on the coattails of the wheat market and really didn't outperform anybody's expectations. So I think the futures market, corn is going to be soft. I'm watching the meal market and the futures really close because that's where the meal is. That's where the beans go. The last 2 days, the meal oil spread has been backing off, and that's what's challenged the beans. If we see beans close lower today, I think that that will probably usher in a little bit of additional liquidation pressure.
And we're under the 100-day moving average
exactly.
on the November bean contract as we speak.
Good point.
Thank you much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities over in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. Hard red December wheat, 754, down 6.5. Soft December, 687.75, down 5.75. December corn, 441.75, exactly where it started electronic trade last night, unchanged at the moment. July, 469.75, down 0.25. November soybeans, 1282, down 6.75. July, 1244.25, down 8.25. October soybean meal, 424.10, down 460. October soybean oil, 4027. It's up 7 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.